star on my car and one on my chest. A gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
And yes, highway patrol is that time once again with Corporal Jimmy Morgan in from the DPS to answer your questions and get you informed about the latest about the state highways across the great state of Texas. You can call us and ask your questions if you have them here in person, 979-836-9937 in studio, or you can even send us an email, and I'll check those periodically, mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com, or call again, 979-836-9937 today. Get questions for Safety Talk here on KWHI. Corporal Jimmy Morgan, as always, Corporal Morgan, we thank you for coming in and visiting with us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. It's a beautiful day, by the way.
Is it now?
I don't know if you know that.
I haven't been outside in a while. They keep me locked up in this room.
Your partners were at the Country Boys.
Yeah, they lucked out, man. They're out in the road.
They said hello.
Yeah, sure they did. They're stuffing their face full of delicious breakfast goodness.
Yeah. Food's pretty good. That's all I got to say.
You know what? You ain't lying on that one.
You know, I got you something, though.
You got me something?
Yeah.
Did you know?
Yeah, I'm going to hand this little 15. If you're making it over there, get you a little 15% off.
15% off, hey.
Yeah, there you go.
Shoot, I'm going to turn that down.
No.
Thank you.
So, I already got a text this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
You got a text?
Yeah.
What'd you do wrong?
I didn't do nothing wrong, but this question comes up every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, does a farmer that has a farm truck that's registered farm,
mm-hmm.
is he required to wear a seatbelt in the state of Texas?
If you're on a road, yeah, I would say so, right?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of you think. I mean,
yeah.
Well, if you go to I had to get some of that coffee there. If you go to 545.413 under seatbelts, there's a couple of interesting things in that chapter. One of the interesting things where it gets to paragraph 6, and this is where it gets a little confusing. The person operating a commercial vehicle, right? That's mm-hmm. number one. Registered as farm vehicle under this section does not have to have a gross weight registered over the 48,000 pounds. Okay, that's an exemption. So what they're saying is that you take old boy that has a pickup truck, he had farm tags, and he's taking his cattle to sell.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a commercial use. Example of a commercial use.
Okay.
So, for whatever reason, that's the best example I can give where you would get an exemption. However, you take that same pickup and just ride around, got a half-ton truck, mm-hmm. farm, whatever, you just ride around. Does that change things? I think it does, according to the law.
Okay.
Okay. That's my interpretation.
Now, if he's coming back from the sale with that trailer unloaded, nothing in it, is that still
He's still in that. Well, that's a hard one. That's a hard one right there.
That's kind of a gray area.
It is gray. So here's the Jimmy Morgan fix for that.
It's safer to wear your seatbelts to wear it all the time, right?
So we always talk about our farmers getting a lot of times the first exemption when laws come out.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that. And most times I say it because it's true, but... here's the deal. You know, I've always thought, would it be easier for law enforcement and for everybody else to understand if you operate a farm registered vehicle on a county or FM road where most of their work has been done, whether it's planting, messing with cattle, whatever they're doing, fence rows, you name it, that if you want to give them some type of exemption, get them an exemption on these type of roadways where they're in and out of the vehicle. But if that vehicle is operated on state, U.S., or interstate highway system, everybody has to wear a seatbelt. Now, is that a little bit easier to explain?
Yeah, I would say so.
And then you leave the gray out because that commercial stuff kind of gets everybody confused.
Yeah.
But so I always give that example. So I would say unless if you're doing some type of commercial enterprise, farm register truck, then you get that type of exemption. A lot of the exemptions that doesn't get talked about is people delivering like newspapers and stuff like that. Now, once you get out of the 48,000, I'm going to talk about some farm stuff today. Once you get over that 48,000, you lose your exemption anyway. So if you're pulling, let's take an example. Now you're pulling your truck, farm use, cattle, and all of a sudden you're over the 48,000 combination weight. You just knocked yourself out of that exemption. So I don't know. Just got to point that stuff out. Just like I said, I just got a text this morning about that. But anyway.
And speaking of this, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I remember way back when used to be, I don't know if it still is or now, if it even was true or not back when, but if you had a one-ton truck.
Yeah, that was a loophole, and they knocked that out. So there's no one-ton or all that. That's out the door.
Okay.
They did clean that up.
Okay, yeah, because I know somebody, like, they specifically bought a one-ton truck just so they wouldn't have to wear a seatbelt. I was like, that's an awful lot of money just to not have to strap in.
And now you're even, you're even your CDL people have to wear, the commercial vehicles, they all have to wear seatbelts and stuff too. So there is no big truck exemption out there anymore. So,
okay.
Now, I would say this. In theory, I guess back when they had that law, the bigger vehicle you are, you could, depending what kind of accident you had, you could be a little bit safer in that type of vehicle. You're a little higher, a little bigger, so depending on the situation. But I don't know why I think it was more of a loophole, and they closed that. This part here in paragraph 6, I wish sometime down the road we'll look at that, relook at that. And help everybody out and the farmers and make a little bit clearer on that. So, but okay, I called TxDOT yesterday. I had not seen the latest posting, but I was informed yesterday that there's 857 fatalities that we have in the state of Texas at this time of yesterday. About 244 a month, about 8 per day. So we're somewhere in the neighborhood where we were last year. And the 2015 stats will come out sometime in June, but that's kind of where we are as a state. A reminder, we've got a lot of things going on this time of year. One of the things going on in the area this weekend is the Chili Fest in Burleson County. It's probably going to draw anywhere from 30,000 to 40,000 folks.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
If not more.
Yeah. And I don't know all the bands, but I hear there's some pretty good bands out there.
ZZ Top, I think, is playing.
So... The thing I want to is tell people, make plans going, but you need to make plans coming back, and that law enforcement will be a presence out there. So just a reminder.
No, they're going to be doing like checkpoints coming away from that or any?
No, we typically patrol areas of highway, and we stop violations, and during that violation. Odor alcohol has been detected. They're going to check you out, make sure you haven't had too much. So, safe thing to do, taxi. They have transportation buses out there, whatever, friend, call somebody, whatever you need to do. If you've been drinking, do not get behind the wheel of the vehicle.
Get your DD.
Yeah. So I'm just telling you that law enforcement will be out there in force, and that's just to keep everybody. We're not trying to harass nobody. We're just trying to keep everybody safe. And I think everybody expects that. Work zone, TxDOT's real busy in the work zones this time of year. I mentioned, I think, last time I was here, we averaged somewhere over 100 fatalities a year in our work zones and 15,000 crashes. I noticed this year they're doing a talks text later signs in that, just trying to reminder, keep your eyes on what's going on in the work zone. The rumble strips are present. A lot of these work zones now, it's hard to go through a work zone now and don't have a pilot car. I was in one I was 21 going to Lufkin the other day, and there was two work zones within about 5 miles apart, and there was a pilot car for each one. So you had to have a little patience. So again, if you are going somewhere, vacation, whatever it may be, and you got alternate routes, you may want to check the website that TxDOT provides. And they'll tell you where these work zones are at. And if that's something you don't want to deal with, man, you probably need to find an alternate route. But they'll post that most times, even crashes, up-to-date crashes that law enforcement is working. So that is a website that you can go to on TxDOT. Let's see. April is Distraction Awareness Month. The last 2 years I'm aware of that distraction in vehicles has been about 13% of our total fatalities on the year. And as we talk about cell phones and all that in the past, that we realize that is a main contributing factor that's moving up the ladder. Mm-hmm. And it's all the thing we can do is to try to let people know, and we try to educate people. And I always tell people, you know, you're doing 70 miles an hour, 102 feet per second, 469 feet, the average text, 4.6 seconds, and you're covering 469 feet blind. That right there is a dangerous thing. And as if you drive around enough, you'll realize that just a split second can make a difference whether you're on the roadway or not. So just pointing that out.
All right, I think we got a phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. Do you have a question for us?
I don't have a question. Is this isn't the country store then?
No, that ends at 9 o'clock.
No, that'll be after we get off.
No, it,
okay.
It, yeah, just call back. Yeah, come back tomorrow at 8 o'clock hour.
Thank you.
If you want to run your questions through Country Boys, that'd be fine with me. Yeah,
no, country store.
Country store. Well, I'm stuck on the Country Boys.
Yeah, you got food on the brain. Yeah. I don't blame you though. There's good food like
that. Once you've been there, you understand. Open carry. Yeah.
You
got a question?
No, I don't have a question, but I have the first time. It's been since January, I guess, when it was open carry.
Mm-hmm. January.
We were going Good Friday, I guess it was, my brother-in-law's house, and that was the first time that I'd seen an open carry.
Okay.
And, I mean, that was a few months into the year since I saw one.
How'd you feel about that? I mean, see anything odd, nothing?
No. I mean, it's just a middle-aged gentleman with a pistol on his, you have a shoulder? I think he had a shoulder holster.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Not a police officer?
No.
Okay.
Just a guy. Just an average Joe walking into a store. So.
Yeah, I get asked. I've seen here and there, but we have not had any instance I'm aware of where open carry has come a factor. It's been quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Which, we talked about that. It's like when concealed carry started. So, right now, no problems. There's 900... and 66,222, you just call it concealed carry, but it's licensed to carry now.
Okay.
In Texas.
Licensed to carry.
Yes.
Because it just rolled over from the concealed carry.
Yeah,
because
you automatically
open.
Because it's not concealed anymore.
If you get
your license, you can open carry, so they don't call it concealed carry anymore.
But you could conceal carry if you want to still.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. I did.
Yeah. Well, you'll be carry as well.
I kind of do both, don't I?
Yeah.
Sometimes I double carry.
Yeah, you've got a belt full of little gadgets and toys over there.
Let's see here. Speaking of work zones and stuff, I just want to comment. Do we got a call?
We do.
Okay, I'll wait.
Let's see. We got Safety Talk today. Have a question for us?
Yes, sir. I was calling about a question about a clearance lights on a pickup one ton. I just previously bought a one ton truck and it has a clear clearance lights on the top.
Yes, sir.
Is that, if they at night they're like white or whatever, is that against the law? A couple of people told me it was, but it was on it when I bought it.
They're like whitish.
Yeah, they're like on the top of the cab, they're like, mm-hmm. I guess they have the clear lenses.
Right.
And the bulbs burn white.
Right.
At night, it's like white. Is that against the law? I have some people get up there and look.
You know, there's some gray area on that, to be honest with you. Typically, clearance lights are typically yellow. Now, I thought you were going to say clear lamps with yellow bulb or something like that. I'm saying, well, that's not a problem. When you go to white, there's a lot of stuff going on with this lights. And I can tell you right now, some of it's gray and they're looking at some of the stuff. See, they just came out with motorcycles. It says, if you have a white or yellow light, ground effect light on motorcycles, you're okay. So, but they did not extend that to, like vehicles. So if you're on a motorcycle, you look good. I mean, it ain't no problem. Now when you start, I'm saying right now, because you can, there's some blues that you can have as long as they're not flashing. I say right now, I don't really foresee a problem. I'm going to write that down, double check. But I know there's some gray area on some of these things, and there may not be a correct answer right now to tell you yes or no.
I actually seen a brand new Ford pickup yesterday with them on it, so I don't know if they're making them like this.
Yeah,
now, or
it's something just started and everything, and the states haven't. States haven't kept up with all the stuff that's going on. Let's put it that way. Because we only meet twice a year.
What about would be the, you know, how they put, like, on the duties, you know, they put the little LED lights down on that rubber strap under the bumper? What about if those were white?
They're fine. Where we're having the trouble is the type of lighting that's coming out.
Right.
Yeah. There's so much. There's the bar lighting. There's these LED lighting and stuff like that. The main thing, you can't have red. I can positive say if you told me you had red, that's a no-no. I can tell you. Now, the blues are being allowed, along with they're not flashing. And that's when, that's when you mentioned white. I'm okay with it. I'm not going to mess with it because I think there's some gray in there. Typically your clearance lamps or your ID lamps are yellow type in color, or some type of orange, whatever.
If I would put the white lights on there at the bottom, as long as they don't, you know, show bright like those bar lights, they're legal?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I need to know.
Yeah, you'll see them in headlamps, LED lamps, circled, whatever. You'll see them coming out now. So, like I said, there's a lot of stuff coming out now that's probably going to have to get, next session is probably going to get addressed to see what the state wants to do about that stuff.
Okay.
But I would be very cautious to tell you that it's against the law right now because it's just too much gray.
Okay, Dean.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it this morning. There we go. 979-836-9937 is that number in your studio. Or send us an email again, mail, mail at kwhi.com. And we were talking about, talking about work.
Oh,
zones.
Yeah. Yeah. The past stationary vehicles, remind yourself that. And TxDOT would typically have the yellows and blue flashing on their vehicles, especially in these work zones, that they're one of the ones that were added to that. So make sure you, when work zones or wherever they're at, make sure you slow down. I had a guy call me the other day and says, hey, I was school zone. Somebody had somebody passed, pulled over in school zone. So if school zone is 20 and you say go 20 on the speed limit, that makes zero, don't it? I said, wait a minute. Hang on, man. When we talk about 20, we're talking about out here open roadway and stuff. You start getting school zone stuff. If you get to 25 miles an hour, anything, then you're only required to slow 5 miles under posted speed limit. So anything under 25, you go only 500. So don't just stop in the middle of the road because you. I had to clear them up. There is a 5 mile an hour. When you get to 25 miles an hour, if you have somebody pulled over where you have to go by them. So don't just stop in the road. Let's see here. Every now and then, we have people that have concerns about a family member, about their driving, and we certainly understand that happens every now and then. There is an examination report, DL-76 form, that you can fill out and turn in to Department of Public Safety, the driver license office, and they will send that person a request come in 30 days to be tested, vision, stuff like that, to double check to make sure everything's okay. If so, that's an option if you have somebody like that concerned. We certainly want to make sure everybody that has a license on the roadway are safe in operation. So if you do have a family member and you really have concerns, that is an option for you. So I'll just gotta post that out.
I got a question for you here. Speaking of driving like that, talking to some kids, younger kids with licenses not long ago, evidently, are they not required to take driving tests anymore? I mean, like in-vehicle driving?
Well,
exams. Is that a thing now with the younger, with the new drivers?
Well, the parent taught driving and all that stuff is changed up so much that, you know, if you're 18 to 24, you have to take that 6-hour driving course, and that exempts you from that part. So there's so much going on, depending how they got their license and what program they went through.
All they did was take a written test. They went to the DPS, took written tests, got their license, and they're good to go.
Yeah, I guess the driving part. Did they tell you how they parent taught driving or anything like that?
Said they didn't have to drive with an instructor or a trooper, not like that.
No, I'm just saying before they showed up, they had to fill out some documentation on the parent taught driving, and that may be what they'd done.
Okay.
Parent taught driving, whatever, and the parents, you know, they fill all these forms out, so that may give them the exemption where they just have to take the test, the written part.
Okay.
So that may be a possibility.
All right. I was just confused. I was like, you know, I thought you had to take it.
No, not all the time.
Either an instructor.
See, if you go get a motorcycle license now, if you took the 6-hour course, you get an exemption on that, you know, depending what age you are. If you're 15 to 17, you still have to do the driving. But if you're above that, that waives you from that. And so you don't have to do the driving. They don't have to follow, you know, motorcycles. So that some of these driving courses certificates they're offered now waives some of the what you're required to do.
Okay.
So.
All right. Like I said, I was confused. Like,
yeah.
They said, well, I never got in the car with an instructor. I was like, that's just awfully weird.
I'm going to get one of these days, I'm going to bring me a DL guru back here, and we'll get into the driver license, see what changes are out there, and go over some of that. But I think that would be good to have. Let's, if you don't mind, let's take a break.
We can do that.
Come back, and I'm going to get me some more coffee here, and we'll come back and have everybody have questions ready for us, and I can answer it.
That's it.
That, or I can continue.
We'll be here because I'm trying to do my best to ask questions this morning.
Okay.
All right, 979-836-9937 here in the studio. If you have a question, we'll get an answer for you. Whatever it may be, we'll go off topic if you want us to. Also, you can send us an email here, mail@kwhi.com. I'm back in just a few minutes. Camprol invites you and your family to Family Day, Sunday, April the 24th. It's free for all ages and located at 6301 Rayburg Road near Burton. Camprol is known all over the country for providing unique, barrier-free camping for children and adults with challenging illnesses and special needs. More than 10,000 children and adults will be coming to camp this year. Camprol sponsors Family Day to thank the community for helping to bring all those campers to camp and give you an opportunity to see what it's all about. Camprol Family Day will be held from 2 to 5 and offers great food, bluebell ice cream, canoeing, a ropes course, arts and crafts, and a host of other activities. Don't forget that it is free and a wonderful day for you to spend the time with your family and learn more about Camp for All. So plan to attend Camp for All Family Day, Sunday, April 24th from 2 to 5. Camp for All is located at 6301 Rayburg Road in Burton. Family Day will be held rain or shine, is open to the public, but no pets, please. That's Camp for All Family Day, Sunday, April 24th from 2 to 5.
Your retirement dream is seeing the grandkids more. Your husband's? Attending a football game in every state. Maybe you can compromise and, forget that. You've got grandbabies to spoil.
Whatever your dreams for retirement, let the Woodman Life Agents help. Russell Coring, Cindy Sharper, Amanda Coring, and Dorothy Dunsworth.
Insurance protection, financial security. Woodman of the World Life Insurance Society of Omaha, Nebraska. Woodman Life, standing strong for generations.
Summer is fast approaching. Time to purchase a pool membership at the Brenham Country Club. Their membership drive is going on now with openings available in each level of membership. A golfing membership, a social membership, and the pool membership. The pool membership is good through September 30th. So plan on some good, clean fun in the sun with your friends and family at the Brenham Country Club this summer. Find out more online at brenhamcc.com or call 836-1733 today. The Brenham Country Club, 3 miles east of Brenham on Highway 105.
Find new roads in a Chevrolet at Tegeler Chevrolet and Industry, where you can see the great deals on some impressive trucks. Check out their rebates on select models. Don't wait. Visit Tegeler Chevrolet now. Tegeler Chevrolet, 13 miles down FM 109 from Brenham, where you'll always find a great deal on a new vehicle and great service after the sale. Visit anytime at TeglerChevrolet.com. That's T-E-G-E-L-E-R Chevrolet.com. Hurry in today and find new roads in a Chevrolet.
Plum Level, serving the Brenham area for over 18 years with excellent plumbing service repairs and now full service heating and AC service repairs and replacements. Spring is here, so make sure your AC is working properly with Plum Level Spring Checkup. Hot water running out too quickly? Replace your traditional water heater with a tankless heater providing endless hot water. Whatever your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs are, Plum Level can take care of it. Visit Plum Level at 1807 Highway 105 or online at plumlevel.com.
Need a new water well to supply water to your livestock, lawn and garden, or new home? JV Water Well Service is just a call away at 979-830-0625. Call now before summer arrives and have the water you need when the hot, dry weather hits. For an existing well system, JV Water Well Service can perform a complete systems check to ensure it's working properly in time to start watering the yard and filling the swimming pool or stock tank. JV Water Well Service offers free estimates for water well drilling, water testing, pump service, and repairs. Water conditioning, filter systems, and trenching. Call 979-830-0625 today to schedule repairs or to visit with Justin of JB Water Well Service about a new well, pump, or conditioning or filtration system. And find out everything that JB Water Well Service has to offer when you visit them online at jbwaterwellservice.com. JB Water Well Service, licensed and insured in Texas and servicing Washington and the surrounding counties. Call 979-830-0625.
Safety Talk once again on KWHI. Craig Montana, joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan from the DPSN studio, answering whatever questions you may have about being on the roadways. Anything like that, any kind of questions, whether you want him to expand on something or just go off topic, he'll do what he can for you, giving you some form of an answer, correct?
Yeah. If I don't know, I try to steer you at least the right direction.
Or we'll put a pin in it, right?
Something. But, if you get your license suspended,
okay,
you got to, first thing, you've got to pay, there's a driver improvement control is the best place I could tell you to call in Austin. They can tell you exactly what's wrong with your license, mm-hmm. and they will tell you exactly what you need to do to get your license back to where it needs to be. So everybody has their own situation. On their license, they get in different situations. So there's not a one answer for all. The only thing I can tell you is that you have to have everything paid up prior to trying to getting your license back. And sometimes you don't really know exactly what all is out there. So I always tell people you can call. Let me see. Trying to think of the 512-424-2000 and ask for driver improvement control, and then they will ask what's your DL number and stuff. Now, they may, they're probably a pretty good waiting line. You're going to have a little patience there, but a lot of times, say, if you have your patience and have your driver license number, and they will look that up for you and tell you exactly what your status is on your driver license. So, like I say, everybody has their own situation on that.
Mm-hmm. I think we got a phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question.
Yes, I know farmers need a round bale permit to haul round bales over width. What about hauling equipment, farm equipment that's over width?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see here. It's a good question. And I'm going to have that in my little stack right here.
Which stack is that?
The quickest answer I give is that you get it in on implements of husbandry, like farm tractors and stuff, and you'll see a lot of that going down these FM roads these days. Mm-hmm. You get a width exemption as long as you're within 50 miles of, I guess, where your ranch is at. Okay.
Okay.
Once you go past that, you lose that exemption. Okay. Now, you do not get an exemption on, say, for instance, your height, your weight, and your length. That all has to be permitted. Now, when we're not talking about implements or husbandry, we're talking about loads, okay, like hay, like he's talking about. You have to have the $10 annual permit to carry up to 12 foot, 144 inches. So depending what you're carrying is going to dictate what you're going to need. So, but these farm equipment stuff that you see going down the road, and they're quite big, the plows and all that, they do get a width exemption. I will say this, there's a lot of that going on right now. If you are operating one of these big tractors and plow stuff, certainly if you're under the 25 miles an hour, you got to have your slow movement in them. You're going to have some lights at night if you get into nighttime on this kind of stuff. But I would say the best is to operate these kind of things during the daytime where you can be seen, see the whole. We've had some accidents where people see the tractor, but they didn't see the plow behind it because no lights, and they hit the plow. So I would say if you operate one of these things and you're backing up traffic, please go to the off the roadway, let the traffic pass, and then come back on the roadway, because I've seen it quite a bit where we had a lot of people backed up, and then everybody starts taking chances passing no passing zone, which is actually a violation of law. You can wave them around all day, they don't change the fact. What you need to do is pull over and let them go by, hopefully they'll do it in the passing zone when it's clear. So we certainly don't want to have an accident on these wide loads with farming equipment. So did we talk about the 90-day sticker, the one sticker program?
The inspection?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about it, but... I just want to make sure everybody's clear, and it's going to get confusing. I know I'm going to get some phone calls probably on this when I get done. But I was told this 90-day, everybody assumed that it was from the start of the month. Say, like, you have a May sticker coming up right now, May 2016.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Well, it's not 1st of May 90 days back. It's the end of May 90 days back. Mm-hmm. So you can get your inspection if you went out in February – and got your inspection, you might have got it too early. So what needs to happen is that you need to wait. If you're going to use the first part of the month, then go 60 days out versus the 90 days out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now, don't cut yourself short. I mean, if your inspection goes out, registration's in May, and your inspection goes out in April, Then wait till the end of April, then go get your car inspected, get your form, and then go and get your vehicle registered. So that's the easy part. But some of these people have, inspection separation versus the registration. But don't get it too early. There is a calendar. You can go to the One Sticker program online, and they have different registration months out there. And if you follow the chart in the calendar, it will actually tell you when is a safe time to get your car inspected. But like I say, don't cut yourself short. Just don't get it done too early. They just wanted me to get that information out on that. Let's see here. We talked about CHL. The farm trailers and stuff like that. You get exemptions on some of this stuff, but, remind yourself that on the lighting and all that stuff, you get daytime lighting exemption on farm registration, but at nighttime your lights and stuff have to work. So don't get caught. I know it's kind of hard to keep all that stuff going all the time because people, going through pastures and all that. But make sure your lighting and stuff is good on that kind of stuff. Motorcycles this time of year, there's a lot of motorcycles going on, activities on that. We just want to remind people, they have the Share the Road campaign. But motorcycles are, after 1975, are required to have a headlight on to become more visible. And we certainly want to make sure, we've had some motorcycle fatalities in the district, and we certainly want to cut down on them as much as we can.
All right, we have a phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Trooper Morgan talked last time he was on about the Kawasaki mules and stuff, and he said something about that you had to have a flag on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, where about on the vehicle would you have to have it?
It doesn't say exactly. Certainly you would want it on the back side, I would think. Mount it to the back of the ROV, recreational vehicle.
So it could either be on the left side or the right side.
Yeah, as long as it's to
the head of the mule.
Yeah, as long as it's to the back and a triangular orange flag.
Right, right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And that operation has to be farm use, police use, or a municipal use that you have. And if you don't follow one of them categories, then your operation would probably, it's going to be, unless it's operating a parade, some kind of event like that, your probably use on a roadway is going to be in violation. Let's see here. Any more calls? Emails?
No phone calls right now. Checking emails again, and nope, nothing there. You can send us an email here. We'll read those. Mail, M-A-I-L at KWHI.com. Also, send us you can call us here, 979-836-9937. Whatever you want to hear about, whatever you want to know, if you have a question, feel free. Then give it to us, and you'll get an answer.
One of the things also a reminder is, you know, as far as our intersection crashes throughout the state, you know, in 2014, we had 39% of our, I'm sorry, that's went off the road. We had a large of our, part of our crashes in these intersections. And in 2014, there was 823 people killed in these intersections. Because of that, they raised the fine limit on that. And that's 500 to 2,000 if person operators suffered moderate injury, and 1,000 to 4,000 if somebody suffered serious moderate injury. So remind yourself on these intersections that, you know, you've got to slow down, come to a stop all the way, look both ways. And if you're sitting there at an intersection, you're guessing whether or not you had enough time to pull out, the answer is no, you don't. So don't pull out at that point. Make sure the intersection is clear prior to pulling out.
All right, then we got another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today as well. You have a question for us?
Yes. How does it work when you're going down the road and there's a double yellow line and it's bike riders in front of you? I mean, if I go across the double line to pass them, will I be could I be ticketed? Is it illegal for me to do that? Or, you know, they're in my lane. They won't get out of my lane, and I just what you do?
Well, there's discretion out there, but technically, any time that you cross that center stripe in a double lane, that would be a no passing zone. If you know, you could be cited for wrong side of the road, not passing, or you certainly don't want to cause an accident in that situation. Depending what the situation is, I would say. There should be enough, if it's a bike or somebody on a bike, you should still have enough room. Like I say, if you come over and touch it, whatever.
Two or three of them, and they won't get out of your lane. They just ride.
Well, they're required, if they're not doing the speed limit, to ride as close to the edge of the roadway as possible. So
right.
I can't, you know, that's what they're supposed to be doing.
What should I do? Should I honk the horn?
Well, the legal way to do it, the only way I can tell you to legally do it is wait for a passing zone. If you're going to have to cross... if you're going to have to go across that center stripe, because you could be in violation if you cross that double.
Right.
So that's what the same thing I'm asking about these farm trailers and tractors and stuff on the road, is that if you're impeding traffic and whatever, you know, be respectful and allow other people to pass and do not create a, you know, situation where we can have an accident.
And if they are going under 30 mile an hour speed limit, should they have to have a slow moving sign on their bikes?
On a bicycle? No.
Yeah, they don't have to.
No.
Huh.
No. They have to have during the nighttime, a white light or a red light in the rear or a red reflector. But that's one of the things they're required to have as far as equipment.
But you just got to ride the road till they, to legally to pass them until passing zone that's legally to go.
Yeah, technically you cross. I mean, technically, if you cross the center stripe, you can only do so in the act of passing, and it has to be a passing zone.
Right, right. That's what I say. But sometimes it's a couple miles on these farm market roads that happen, and
yes, sir.
And they don't show no effort to get off. It's
right.
It's pretty cumbersome. All righty. Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
All right. Thank you for your call. Yeah, sometimes I've been there. I know what they're talking about. It just, I can't sit here and tell you it's legally passed a double stripe line, and because you get in an accident, you're going to get probably cited for doing that.
Mm-hmm. So, well, wouldn't they cite the bicyclist too for not getting over?
Yeah, if they could see that. I mean,
the reason that you're passing
that could be
that.
Well, you can't pass unless you can do it so safely. That's, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, for instance, say like a trooper comes over or an officer comes over a hill or where it may be, drives up, and he notices that bicycles are not moving like they should. Yeah, he can stop the bicycle and say, hey, look, you're not doing what the law says you have to do in the operation of that bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possibility. Absolutely.
All right. Well, it looks like we're coming to an end of the show today.
Well, I hope I can answer most people's questions. It's a busy time of year.
It was a fast and furious hour, let me tell you. We got through it. Morgan, always appreciate it. We thank you for coming in and spending time with us and informing us on what we need to know. If somebody does have a question that they think of later on, they can contact you by?
They can call me at my office, 979-776-3147, or they can email me at jimmy.morgan@dps.texas.gov.
It is a lot to type in, so you can always send it to me, and we'll get it forward to him, and he'll take care of it from there. And we'll get another time set up for you to come in and talk to us again, Corporal Morgan. We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. This has been Safety Talk on KWHI in Brenham.
Highway Patrol, the Highway Patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low. But I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the Highway Patrol. Shouldn't do. You can bet your boots I'm coming after you. If you want a race, then get on a race track. Well, if you try to run away, I'm gonna bring you back. I'm here to keep all the speeder driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the Highway Patrol. I'm the Highway Patrol. Highway Patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low, but I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job, I'm the Highway Patrol. I'm just doing my job.